Praise God. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to touch these lips, touch my mind, touch my thoughts, and help me, Lord, to bring the message across that you've given to me. I can't deliver this, Lord, in my own self. And so I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to come upon me and give me the words that I need to speak and bring this whole message together in a package, God, that everyone will understand. Lord, I just ask your help. And I thank you for what you're doing. You never fail. You're always for us, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Well, this was an interesting message the Lord gave me tonight. A lot of times as I'm going through the day or whatever, at night maybe or something, a thought will come to me. And I've learned to write it down, write it down. It was just a thought. So I wrote it down. And then sure enough, here just shortly after, then Pastor asked me to speak. So the Lord has given me the direction. And as I dug into things, I was like, Lord, you know, I cannot sit down in the Bible and just sit and make a message. I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. It'd be a mess. You know, it's empty. There's nothing there. It's just words. I can't do that. So, Lord, I seek your face. Lord, you give me the message. I want to know what you want me to speak about. And God does that. And a lot of times it happens in the night hours. And so I've got some stuff I'm going to be sharing with you tonight that the Lord gave me in the night hours. And it was, it's rather interesting. But as I think about this message tonight, you know, we're born and raised in a world that's far different maybe than what God really desired it to be. But is it? Is it? God's not done yet. You know, it's a work in progress. And if you think about it, back in Genesis 3:15, when the word came out that the serpent was going to be crushed by the head of the seed of the woman, the cross, it was 4,000 years before that took place. Wonder, God, what is your plan? You know, we're going to look a little bit at that tonight. God is such a phenomenal, we can't even imagine how big he is. We can't. We think we might know. The world out there thinks he's just someone like a man. I got news for them. They will find out one day and they'll be bowing their knee before him and confessing that Jesus is Lord, whether they like it or not. So we're born in this world and that's really crazy that we're living in it. And the reason that we're going through, I think, a lot of the stuff we do, and the reason that God allows a lot of this stuff to go on, he's looking at a finished product that's going to be absolutely amazing, absolutely beautiful. And it takes time sometimes to make something good. It takes time to do it. And he created man because God created man with the power of choice. He didn't create robots. He created us with the power of choice. And he allowed Satan to interfere with his creation, to give man the opportunity to choose to love and obey their creator or to believe the lies of the enemy. And he doesn't make us serve him, but we get the chance or the opportunity to get to know God. and to walk with him. And we're going to look a little bit at what's at stake there. This life is our proving ground. This is not intended to be our final residence. And as a result of the worldly influence around about us, unfortunately, many people have lost sight of what our purpose is here. We don't know why am I here? What am I doing here? In Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. Now, God's giving him that country, but he's living in it like it's a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then Hebrews 11:13 says, and these all died in faith, not having received the promises. So you see, these promises that God makes sometimes, they're way out there. But the final result is going to be amazing. But having seen them afar off, they were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And that brings me to the title of the message tonight. This world is not my home. And that's why we sang this song tonight. Thank you, Bruce, for putting that together. I appreciate that. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. But the passing through is very important. There's a real purpose in the passing through here. There's too many believers today want to be settlers, not pilgrims and strangers. We're kind of happy to settle down in our comfort zones and live as though Jesus never died, Jesus is not coming again, and our lives will never end. Now, if you ask somebody about that, they say, oh, no, 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 no. But they're living that way. They're living that way. And many people have the false idea that when they die, they just automatically go to heaven. They talk about it. They say, Joe went away. Well, I'm gonna be seeing him, you know. They're not Christians. They just think they're going to go over there. Bad mistake. Bad mistake. They are setting up their little kingdom here, just as if they were going to be here forever. And that's really, really, really sad. Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:17-21. Brethren, join me in following my example. Note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that we may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. So the problem is they have some of these problems, set their mind on earthly things. And our citizenship is up there. And it says we also eagerly wait. If you're not eagerly waiting for the coming of the Lord, you may be in danger. It's the Lord's coming for those that are waiting for him. And he's going to transform our bodies. Hallelujah. We get rid of all the sickness, all this tiredness, all these aching joints, and all the things that we fight down here. One of these days, we're going to have a body that's absolutely glorious. And it's going to be really exciting. Mark chapter 8, verses 34-36. And when he called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And there's so many people out there that are just, they got to have money, they got to have things, they got to have power, they got to have something. If you gain the whole world, what is it going to, good is it going to do you? And lose your own soul. Jesus never owned a house. He lived with somebody else. Look at 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. The test of knowing Christ. My little children, these things are right to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. He wrote these things. If we get into the Word of God and we're obeying it and reading it and studying it and getting acquainted with the God of the Word, we're not going to be sinning. Oh, yes, everyone sins at times, you know. But there's not going to be any habitual sin going on in our lives. But if anybody sins, it says, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We're not the old person anymore. We're not the person we used to be. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are his, our ambassadors for Christ. We're his representatives. So ambassadors, they're from another country, right? They're from heaven. Our citizenship's in heaven. So we're ambassadors down here. And so if you think about that, an ambassador, they're just representing the person that they're sent. And they don't really own anything in that country. They're just representing him. So if you think about it, we're down here on this earth. It's not our home. We're just representing Jesus, representing God. Hallelujah. And one thing we have to remember, too, is that the Bible is our roadmap to heaven. The Bible, the Word of God, is a roadmap to heaven. So I can ask the question, what's our motivation in Christ? What's my motivation? What moves me? What are we living for? You know, a lot of people, they're living for the world. They're just enjoying the world out there. And it's really kind of sad because it's all one-sided there. Psalms 127:1, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. I could use that even concerning this body here. Unless the Lord builds the house here, they labor in vain that build it. We aren't going to build. I remember one time we were having some problems and everything, And there was a little group of us meeting together, and we were almost thinking about maybe starting a church. And a pastor told us, when he told us this story, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. It wasn't to be. It was something that was not. So the Lord needs to build a house. We need to depend on him to build it. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:20 says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. But see, when Jesus came, he was rejected by the Jewish leaders because he didn't fit their mold or their idea. They were looking for a Messiah that was going to come up, raise an army, boy, and we're going to wipe out the Romans, and we're going to take over, and then we're going to get to rule with him. Well, that was the big deal, I think, right there. We're going to get to rule with him. See, they all had, even though they were taken over by Rome, they had some power, and they loved that power. You look at our world today, there's people out there, government people and everything else, they love to have that power. And they'll do anything to get it. It's dangerous. It's terrible. Ephesians 2:20 says, having been built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I could ask the question here. Why didn't God just create heaven and just create man and just stick him in heaven? What's the purpose of it down here? Think about that a little bit. What's the purpose of it down here? There's a real purpose, and we're going to be looking at some of that. We were created with a will to choose between God and Satan, between truth and the lies of the enemy. And God created Adam and Eve, and that really didn't turn out so good, did it? Because they sinned and brought sin into the whole human race. But you know what? If they'd have made it and everything, I probably would have done it, if it got to me. It didn't turn out so good. So there's a purpose that God's doing. There's something big, there's something behind the scenes, something that's bigger than what we can imagine, because God is a very huge God and a creative God, and he's got plans and everything. It's all in motion. So God created us to have fellowship with him and walk together in love and obey him. He made us, he understands us, and he provides grace to cover over our sins and shortcomings. And he is always for us. God doesn't say, well, you goofed up here, forget it, you're gone. No, he is for us. He'll do everything in his power to get us on the right road. He'll do everything in his power to get us headed the right direction. And he's provided the way for it. He's provided the power, the building, everything to be able to do that. He is always for us, and he gives us all that we need to succeed on our journey. He wants our trust. So we ask, do we really believe him? Do we really believe him? Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. And in his incarnation, Jesus entered the human family and became our kinsman. And in the crucifixion, he paid the price to redeem us from sin, death, and hell. Man sinned, and the wages of sin is death. Man couldn't be the perfect sacrifice to pay the penalty, so God had to come down and become a man and live a perfect life so that he could pay the price for our sins. And he literally took all of our sins upon himself and took the punishment for that sin upon himself. And the Bible says that God was in Christ doing that. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And he sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him should be saved. Hallelujah. So God was the initiator of all of that. He's the one that loved the world. He's the one that pulled it all together. And the Son was willing to come down and become human man on this earth and to pay that penalty and to take that sin upon himself. And Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. And let me tell you this, you can put this in your book. There are not many roads to God. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Only one way. So Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I am the life. He is life. Hallelujah. That's where life comes from him. Hallelujah. And then in Matthew 25:41, he'll say to those on the left, this is where the goats and the sheep were before him, I think. And they said to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. God didn't create hell for mankind. He created it for the devil and his angels. And if we end up in hell because we choose to go there because we don't want to choose to follow after God. Just that simple. God didn't send anybody to hell. We send ourselves there by the choice that we make. You get to choose where you will go, heaven or hell. And if you don't choose, well, I don't know, then you've made your choice. You don't have, you know, our destination is something that's real important. We need to have the right destination. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. So we can come to him boldly to the throne of grace, and he gives us mercy and grace to help us in time of need. Now Philippians 3:13-14, Paul here, he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward God of call of God in Christ Jesus. And all of us have a call of God on our lives. Hallelujah. Forgetting those things that are behind. You think about Paul when he was still Saul of Tarsus. What was he doing? He was going around committing Christians to prison and to death. And he had a lot on his soul. And when God saved him, he said it was because of his, can't think of the word right now. He really didn't understand what he was doing. Okay? And so he says here, he said, forgetting those things that are behind. Forget them. There's nothing you can do about them. You know, all of us have things in our lives we're sorry for. And the devil likes to stir those things and bring them back up to our memory. No, the Bible says, forgetting those things that are behind, I'm pressing on. Hallelujah. God's forgiven me, and I'm pressing on into the things that are before, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We can get so wrapped up. We have our problems and our financial difficulties and our medical problems and different things. And we get so wrapped up in that and everything. And what happens? No. God says, seek me first. Seek the kingdom of God first. And he'll take care of that stuff. Hallelujah. And Laura and I have been practicing that. We've been trying to do that. You know, make that a part of our lives. We're pressing on. Hallelujah. And we're seeking the kingdom of God first. Now, this is one I've shared with you before, Matthew 7:21-23, that it's really important. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. What is the will of my Father in heaven? We'll look into that. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Oh, surely this could be the will of the Lord, right? They're doing these things, casting out devils, all these things he's doing. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. In the Bible, in the Greek, it talks about there, it says, I never knew you. I never at any time knew you. You never had a relationship with me. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So one of the things that God has given us, every one of us, Romans, we don't have that on here, but Romans 11:29 says, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable, So God has given everyone gifts. Maybe we haven't been practicing yet. Maybe we haven't seen them yet. Maybe we haven't understood them yet. But God's given everyone gifts. But God gave gifts to the devil when he was the archangel up there in heaven. And he still has them. So the gifts of calling of God are irrevocable. And you think about these people. Do you think that God has given me the gifts so I could just go out and use them as I see fit? If I see somebody over here, I'm gonna use the gifts here. Not quite how it works. What they're doing, what these people were doing, they become works of the flesh. Because they're doing things on their own. They're just out there doing their things. See, Jesus is the head of all things to the church. Ephesians 2:10 here. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has works that he's planned in advance for us to do. That's the will of God for us. That is the will of God for us. And if we're not doing that will, then we're missing out. So those are the good works that God prepared beforehand. We should walk into it. Psalms 139:16. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. So that's an interesting Psalm 139. It talks about us being birthed in our mother's womb, and while we were still being formed, God wrote a book with us about us, and he has all the days of our life in there. And I believe he has all of his work that he has for us to do in that little book. Hallelujah. When as yet there was none of them. We'll get back to that in a second. So God has a calling. The calling is the good works that we're supposed to do. And he also has a timetable for us, because the days of our life are fashioned for me. We don't know when our days are going to be up. And we'll be looking at that a little bit too. And so I want to look at five scenarios tonight. I think you'll find these interesting. Scenario one, when we were up in Ketchikan, we were there for several years. And we had a really good pastor, and he felt led to move up north. I think he went up to Kenai or something like that. I don't remember exactly where. But he went up to Kenai, and later he ended up becoming the district superintendent for Alaska for Assemblies of God Church. And so we were looking for a pastor, and we had somebody came in and tried out, and he was really good. I mean, he was top notch. He was just really, really good, and he was voted in 100%. So he goes back down south, you know, and all of a sudden we get a deal back from him. Oh, he can't come up because his wife didn't want to move to Alaska. He missed out. God called him, and he had a calling to come to Alaska, and he missed out because he refused to come because of his wife. It was really sad. I don't know what had happened up to him. I don't know what happened. But in any case, so we found another, we got another pastor, and he only came in for a couple of years because he sensed that he was just filling in for somebody. And he ended up being one of the best pastors we ever had. He won more souls to the Lord and working with stuff. It was really, really, really good. We learned a lot from him. But the first pastor was the one that God called, and he rejected the call, so God brought in someone else to do the job. If we refuse to do what God wants us to do, he may choose someone else to take our place. God has called you to do a work, and he needs that work done, and if you refuse, he might choose somebody else. Scenario two, Jonah. You know the story about Jonah? God was going to use him. This is interesting. God was going to use him whether he liked it or not. You're talking about free choice? Well, yeah, he did have free choice. But God can make things so unpleasant for us that we will be willing to do what God asks of us. You know, it's much more pleasant to just obey to start with and get a reward for it. Now, let's look at it. Jonah 1, 1 to 3. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You know, if you run from God's will, you're going down. It's always a downward road. And you pay for the privilege of going down. You pay for the privilege of going down. And how can you flee from the presence of the Lord? And the interesting thing is, you pretend. That's what you just pretend. You just pretend. Now, God knew in advance that Jonah was going to flee because in Jonah 1:17 it says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. It would take some preparation because if some normal fish would have done it, Jonah probably would have been dead. But God has somehow created this fish that would do the job without killing him. And Jonah was in the belly of that fish 3 days and three nights. I think God got his attention. Now, so if you're unwilling, it talks about he had seaweed wrapped around his head. And imagine breathing the fumes of that. I don't even know how he could even survive down there. If you're unwilling to do what God wants you to do, he can make things so unpleasant for you that you will change your mind and go. So that's another scenario. Let's look at scenario three. Jesus. Man sinned, so man had to pay the penalty, which was death. Man was a sinner and was not able to be the perfect sacrifice for sin, so God had to become a man and be a kinsman redeemer to be the perfect sinless sacrifice to rescue man. And his relationship with the Father enabled him to pay the full penalty for man's sin and bring us back into relationship with the Father. And the enemy tried to take him out different times. You read about it in the New Testament there. He tried to take him out different times, but they couldn't because it wasn't his time. See, God's in control of all that stuff. John 17:4, he says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you've given me to do. And like Jesus, we have a calling on our life to do the will of the Father, and we can determine to give ourselves to him and allow him to help us to complete, accomplish it. Scenario 4, President Donald Trump. The enemy tried to take out Donald Trump, but God moved his head a fraction of an inch, so he was only wounded in the ear. Wasn't his time yet. There was still more work for him to do. And this was another blunder by the enemy, because it turned a lot of people against them and helped Trump accomplish what God wants him to do. It's not over yet, folks. It's not over yet. The call of God in our lives can involve danger, but still the safest place to be is in the middle of his will. Hallelujah. And then scenario number 5, Charlie Kirk. He was used of God in a mighty way to change the lives of college students and began a movement that's taking the colleges by storm. My grandson is one who has been affected by him, and many college-age peoples are changing direction and turning to God as a result of his ministry. So why did God allow the enemy to take him out? Why did God allow the enemy to take him out? Charlie started a movement that will not be stopped, and he kind of now becomes a martyr figure that will cause this movement to boomerang and to grow even faster. They took him out. That was a mistake. That was a mistake for them. Hallelujah. So we pray for the family involved, that God would give them comfort and strength and supply all their needs. But according to Psalm 139:16, Uriah saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. So Charlie's days were determined ahead of time by God, and his personal work was completed on schedule. His personal work was completed on schedule. See, if he'd have just continued, it would have just slowly grown. But now it's going to go like, whoo, up here. And it's going to grow exponentially. It was his time. And he could say like Jesus, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now others will rise up to continue what he started. 2 days after his death, Charlie's wife made this statement. If you thought that my husband's mission was powerful before, you have no idea. Changing her tone, she said, you have no idea what you have just unleashed across this entire country and this world. You have no idea. You have no idea the fire that you have ignited within his wife. And now his wife is taking over the direction, I believe, of that turning point. Remember, this world is not our home. We're just working together with God to do things that cannot be accomplished in the natural. There's things that can be accomplished in the natural. They're really meaningless. There's no way the natural can overcome this world and what's going on it. It's going to have to be supernatural. And Charlie was, like us, raised up for such a time as this. Now, something happened. There's a time again when God had me get up and go right. That happens. Sometimes I really don't feel like it. Lord, I'm tired, you know. No, I'm just learning. I just get up. Just get up. I went out and I started writing. It's powerful. And I'll let you call it what it is. I believe it's a message from God for us today. Not only a message, I believe it's a challenge for us today. And I'm going to read it. I'd like you to pay attention to it. Don't be like the person who had only one talent and went and buried it. God wants us to rise up and use our talents to glorify him. Don't face eternity with regrets and disappointments. Become who you were created to be. Let God test you and develop you to bring great glory to Him. This is our testing ground or proving ground to show to the world and the devil that God can and will do great things for them that believe. Become what God designed you to be. Rise up and set your heart like a flint. I'm going to do this. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Prove out the word of God. Believe the word of God. Live out the word of God. Develop a deep relationship with the word of God. It will transform you into something beautiful, like a beautiful butterfly from a caterpillar. You can do nothing of value without Him, but with Him you can do all things. Step out of the boat like Peter and walk on the water. Get so full of God that you become a firebrand, a light to show the way. So how do we get there? Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." There is a path for you to follow, and you go one step at a time as the light of the word illuminates the path. You're going to a place you have never been before, but it's exciting, and you are fellowshipping with the God who created the heavens and the earth. So rise up to the challenge and let Him bring glory to Himself and great joy to you as you become workers together with Him. Press on into Him, for He is the Creator. He knows what you will become. He is the Master Potter who wants to make a beautiful vessel of honor that will bring great glory to Him. Get excited in Him. He will bring great satisfaction and joy to you that you have never experienced before. And you will accomplish mighty deeds that you never thought possible. So rise up to the challenge and let Him fully rule in your life for the greatest, most exciting adventure that you could ever have. He is with you, and you will succeed far beyond your wildest dreams. So give yourself fully to Him. Step out into your destiny. You will never be sorry, and the world is anxiously waiting for your development. They are looking for something that is real, the possibility that there is a God out there that cares for them and desires to have a relationship with them. They are tired of the pretenders who are powerless and have nothing to offer them. The creation waits for you to become what your Heavenly Father has prepared you for. Will you allow Him to take rulership over your life and build you into something great? Will you put your trust in Him, believe in His word, and step out into His plan for your life? He is anxiously waiting. The decision is yours. If you move forward in this, He will empower you by His creative spirit and make something spectacular out of your life that you will never regret. Don't bury your talent, but let Him develop it for you. For you can do nothing in your own power or ability, but with Him, you can do all things. Make your decision right now and give yourself to Him and see what He will do. You won't regret. And then I went on. It's like a prayer. Father God, this is your message for your people today. For today is the day of salvation for them. Break through into their hearts and give them eyes to see what they could become in you. Father God, you love these people and want to develop them to what you always desired for them to be. Make them great warriors that will glorify your name before the whole world. Let these people ones be the ones the world is waiting for that will bring hope to those who are in great need. Those who are desperate, who have no hope, and don't know for sure that you even exist. God, cause them to rise up and move forward into you this day. Cause them to believe in your word and trust you to perform that which you so desire to do for us this day. Father, you are giving us the opportunity of a lifetime, so to speak, to move forward into the most exciting adventure that we could ever imagine, to see how great and powerful you are, and to demonstrate that to the world around us so that they may come to know you and be rescued from their hopelessness and despair to a life of joy and peace and a hope of eternal life with you. Now I want to look again at 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. This goes along with it. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Jesus said, the Father is always at work, and I work. Do you get the picture? God was in Christ, who is in us, reconciling the world to himself. He's the one that initiates everything and who is always at work drawing people to himself and setting things in motion to bring you together with what he is doing. Give you an example. Jesus, he's in prayer always with the Father. He's seeking the Father's will. He's following. He's only doing what God shows him to do. And he speaks what God's telling him to speak. He said, we got to go by Samaria today. We're going to Samaria. And so what do? They come there. God's working out there in Samaria. He's bringing this woman to the well just at the right time when Jesus shows up. Hallelujah. That's not, Jesus wasn't doing that. He said, I can't do anything except what I see the Father do. He was only following the Father's will. He was only following the Father's will. And he met this woman's need. It ended up a whole city came out, and many of them believed in Jesus as a result. And Jesus is only doing what the Father showed him to do. We have a calling in our life, and as we walk with God and as we are in the Word of God and everything, he'll direct our paths. Hallelujah. Peter and John were just going to church one day. They were walking into the temple. And here sits a lame man begging alms. Need alms, alms. And God was with them. And they recognized something's going on there. So Peter walks over and he said, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he grabbed him by the hand and pulled him to his feet. Hallelujah. And that man started leaping and jumping and praising God. They went into the temple. Hallelujah. What a marvelous thing. And God set it all up. So we think, well, how can I do anything? I don't know what to do. Seek the Lord. Walk with him. Pray. He'll give you the direction. When you're walking in your everyday stuff, Laura and I have been doing this for quite a while now, especially when we're doing food bank stuff. Lord, guide us and direct us this day and help us, Lord, to accomplish your purposes. And it's absolutely amazing the things that God does. And he sets things up. The timing is right to the minutes. If we'd have missed it by a couple of minutes, we'd have missed the connection. And God brings us together. Hallelujah. And he accomplishes that. So he's the one, God's the one that always initiates everything, and he's always at work drawing people to himself and setting things in motion to bring you together with what he is doing. So God helps us as he arranges the affairs of this world and our lives. And there's no accidents in the life of the believer only appointments. Only appointments. Our Father watches over us. I've got to go to the scripture again. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You want to know where to go? You want to know what you're supposed to be doing? Get in the word. Get in the word. Be praying. And the light of the word will show you. Every one of us has a path, and every path is different because God's calling is different for each one of us. So the light of the word shows, oh, here's the path. Well, go and take a step over there. Oh, now I can see over here. And you just keep going. And if you walk that path, God will bring people across your way, and he's going to accomplish great and mighty things through you. We think, well, we'll have to have a planning meeting and figure out what we're going to do, how we're going to get souls saved. We're going to have a planning meeting or something. No, God will work through you if you will walk with him. Hallelujah. He's the initiator. He watches over us and accomplishes his will. He's the initiator who wants to touch people more than we do. We say, yeah, we like to get souls saved. No, he really wants to get souls saved. He is at work, and we get the privilege of joining him in his work and reconciling them to the Lord. So are you willing to be a part of that? That's what I asked the question. Are you willing to be a part of that? Are you willing to trust the Lord with your whole life? Are you willing to lay it out there before you? Say, okay, God, take charge. I haven't been doing so good. Take charge of my life. Are you willing to do that? That's the question tonight. Father, I pray that you'll touch our hearts. God, we need you. There's not that many days, Lord, before you will be coming back. And there's a work to do. And it's an exciting road, Lord, for us to follow if we'll be willing to follow it. If we'll be willing to yield ourselves to you, God, you've got a lot of wonderful things in store for us. And we get to be workers together with you, and we'll have a great reward when we get to the other side. So, Lord, I pray that you help us, Lord, to be willing to take that step and say, God, I'm going with you all the way. I'm not holding nothing back anymore. I'm done with this world. This world is temporary. This world is not my home. There's nothing here that I want anymore. I want what's on the other side. I want what the Lord has for me. And that's the direction I'm going. Laura and I have committed ourselves to do that. And I tell you, it's exciting. I want to go there. I'm not going to mess with this world. They can have everything that I have down there. They can have it all. They can have it all. Take this world, but give me Jesus. Hallelujah. And so I'm calling you tonight. Are you willing to take that step? You think, well, that's kind of a little bit formidable. It's kind of a little, you know, tough. I don't know that I can do that. But you really need to do that. And you'll never be sorry. You take that step, you will never be sorry. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to make that decision. Even this night, God. Hallelujah. This world is not our home. We're headed over there. And I pray, God, that you will touch our hearts, Lord, and help us to be willing. Hallelujah. Allow you, Lord, to be the ruler over our life. Allow you to make us something beautiful, something wonderful, something a great, a beautiful vessel. Make us a beautiful butterfly out of a moth. God, you are so awesome to us tonight. So I pray, God, that you'll touch our hearts and just help us, Lord, to make this decision for you. I want to be a part of that. And Lord, I pray that these people here will be a part of that also. We commit ourselves to you right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I commit each one of these people into your hands. You have a work, God, that you're doing in this body. We have things that we need to do. You are doing a great work in our world, even though it looks like it's falling apart and collapsing and having all kinds of problems. But God, you are in control and you are right on time. Everything you're doing is right on time. And Lord, we want to be a part of what you're doing. So Lord, we commit ourselves to you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we give ourselves, Lord, to you. We, Lord, we desire to be workers together with you. Lord, we want to lift up your name, O God. We want to be the people, Lord, that the world is looking for. God, help us to be that people. Help us, Lord, to walk with you and communicate with you. And help us get into the Word, Lord. Help us to get in prayer, Lord. Help us, Lord, to seek your face and to put you first, Lord, in our lives. Seek the kingdom of heaven first. And all these things will be added unto you. Lord, to be taken care of, hallelujah, as we serve you and as we walk with you. I thank you for that. Lord, touch our hearts tonight. Minister to everyone, Lord. And help us to be willing. To be willing, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, God, that you'll just have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name. If anyone else would like to pray out, please do. Thank you, Jesus.